Amen. Or are you glad to be in the house of the Lord? What a time of worship. Wasn't that a time of worship? Man, it is an honor to be with you guys today. Am I too loud? I want to make sure. Am I okay? All right. Amen and amen. So thank you. Thank you, honey. Thank you. Mike used to do that for me, but I don't know if he's mad at me or what, but no water today. Everybody turn around and wave to Pastor Lee. Pastor Lee, good to see you. If you don't know Pastor Lee Shaw, he's our founding pastor here at Pinot Valley Family Church. By the way, that's going to be changing soon to just Family Church. Some of you aren't from Chino, is that correct? And so inviting all the people from the area to Family Church. Amen? Aren't we a family? Isn't that true? We're a family? God the Father? Isn't that a family term? The Son? Isn't that a family term? Amen? So it's good to be part of a family. Amen and amen. Let's just pray real quick. Father, we thank you again. We've had an attitude of prayer this morning. But Lord, I pray that you would help me to communicate, in spite of me, what you want to say today. Lord, I pray today, Lord, that there will be fresh ears open to you, Father God. Fresh eyes open in the spiritual realm. Lord, I thank you today for bondages and chains, the lies of the enemy being broken over all of our hearts in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for revealing yourself a little bit more to us today, Father. Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him despised that cross and is sitting at the right hand of the Father. Isn't that amazing? And you and I, in Jesus' name, are seated with him in heavenly places. Seated with Christ in heavenly places. We thank you for that today, Lord. How we love you and worship you, Lord. What an honor it is to be part of a body. What an honor it is to call each other brothers and sisters. And that's because of you, Lord Jesus. In this we pray, and everybody said, amen. If you don't, Tyler, if you don't mind, just turn me down. Just look, just for my own comfort. Amen. If you can still hear me, right? Amen. I want to talk, you know, we've been talking about the word planting, you know, the word of God being like a seed, right? And our heart being like soil. The heart, our heart being like soil. We've been talking about planting, what we listen to, what we hear, what we allow into our soul realm, right? We know where, if you know the Lord Jesus, you're born again. You're born again. But it's that part of renewing your mind. That part of renewing your mind. That part of allowing God to heal emotions and emotions being under our control, amen? Not under the enemy's control, but our emotions being under his control. And so today I want to talk a little bit about prayer. Now, Don't start going to sleep on me already. You think about that when you say, we're going to talk about prayer. Sometimes people, but you know, prayer, especially today, is so important. It's an honor to be able to pray. You know, in society, we hear things like, here are my thoughts and prayers. Isn't that the thing to say? People going through struggles and here are my thoughts and prayers. We'll just say things, right? We say a lot of things about prayers. You know, I started wanting to talk about prayer, what we're praying, what we believe is prayer. I have to tell on myself. I was had prayed, me and my wife, and the church had prayed for Darlene Nenny. Do you guys know Darlene Nenny? Yeah. Because she, you know, she's a young woman. That's all I'll say, but she's in her latter part of her life as a young woman. Is that how you can say it nicely? And you guys know what I mean. And she had recently lost her husband, Mr. Nenny, right? He had passed away. I mean, her energy level, she was like wrung out. And then all of a sudden, she gets this Wuhan flu, gets this COVID, whatever you want to call it, and she's in the hospital. I'm sorry, guys. Some of what I believe just comes out. You have to forgive me. And so she's in the hospital. And we're hearing she's going to be there a minimum of 10 or 14 days. And so we start praying for her. Praying for what? Her healing. not God's will to be done. We're asking that God would heal her body. He's a healer, amen? And then two days later, we find out she's at home. And I'm like in shock. My mind was like, I thought she was going to be there 10 days. And then I go back and say, wait a minute, we have prayed for her healing. And here I am shocked that she's healed. At her age, what she had just gone through with losing her husband, a candidate to be ran through the ringer, and here she is a few days later, she's home. And then we go see her a few days later, man, and she's like healthy. Yeah. Just living life. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that awesome? I want to say a couple things. So you know that prayer, the hearing of prayer by God, listen to me, is exclusive to the saints. God loves people. God's listening for prayers that are directed at him. He's looking to save the souls of people. But you know that his prayers that he hears are from the saints. God's not hearing every prayer in this world. If that's the case, why did Jesus come and die? It's exclusive for the saints, those that know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. Revelations 8:3-4 says, another angel came and stood at the altar, holding a golden censer, and much incense was given to him, to this angel, so that he might add to it the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar which was before the throne of God. And the smoke of the incense ascended from the angel's hand with the prayers of the saints before God. The preciousness of our prayers. Saints, if I think if there's anything we got to realize in this day and age, after the onslaught of the enemy that we've been going under right now with this country, with sickness, is we got to realize that prayer is our power. Prayer is our power. And there's an onslaught by the enemy to think that, well, prayer doesn't really matter anymore. And maybe in your hearts that God hasn't heard prayers. But I'm telling you, the thing that makes the saint powerful, first and foremost, is his worship and prayer. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Vain imaginations, our prayers, the prayers of the saints are what are going to change this nation. And nothing less and nothing more. But God redirecting our hearts and saying, hey, let the Lord challenge your heart today in the area of prayer. Amen. Jesus is the only way to heaven. He's the only way to have fellowship with the Father, with the Creator of heaven and earth. Amen. John 14:6, you know this. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. How powerful and precious was the blood of Christ. The finished work of the cross, and our faith in it, is the first and the last step to coming before the Father. It's the reason why we're seated with him in heavenly places. It's the reason that our prayers go up like incense before his throne. And as we may go a couple, 2 or 3 weeks about it, and we'll talk about prayer, we'll talk about unanswered prayer, we'll talk about waiting on prayer. But no, make no mistake, prayer is the key in the kingdom of God. Amen? Someone, and it wasn't here at this church, don't worry about that. But this week, but it goes to my point, someone offered me a book about prayer. But in this case, it had nothing to do with Jesus. It was talking about the power of answered prayer, but the deception is it had nothing to do with Jesus. See, there's a deception in the world. And let it not be in the church that somehow God just answers prayer for everybody. He answers the prayers of his saints. He's looking to hear the prayers of those that want to draw nigh to him. He says, the word of God says, his spirit goes to and fro this earth looking for those whose heart is bent towards him. Man, he loves people. He's attentive to their cry to him. But there's so many people that are praying that who are they praying to? It could be a different God. It could be to whatever. Whatever's out there. It has no effect, and it is not heard. That's the truth of it. Only one way for our prayers. Jesus says in the past, This is how it used to be, but now I'm telling you, when you pray, pray in my name, and you will have the petitions that you ask. Pray in my name. In the name of Jesus, demons have to flee. In the name of Jesus, we have authority through the written word, the things that he's placed in us through the name of Jesus. There is still power in the name of Jesus. As I'd mentioned, I'm so thankful, by the way, Kathy Dunnington is doing better. Hallelujah. She's in her own room. She's out of ICU. She's been a long haul for her. We just declare complete healing over her life, Lord Jesus. Thank you for healing her body. Thank you for encouraging her soul. Thank you, Father God, that she's going to have a testimony of what you brought her out of. We pray for complete recovery to her body. In Jesus' name, the prayer of faith. Amen? Amen. So knowing that there's a lot of deception out there. So I just said, no, I don't want that book. And this is why, in love. There's only one name under earth by which man can be saved and to have their prayers heard. You know, man is born under wrath. He needs a Savior. He's born in sin. He needs a Savior. Amen? And God is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. Oh, how he desires to hear the prayers of his saints. He loves to hear our prayers. Don't doubt that at all. He loves hearing our prayers. He wants to hear the prayers of others if they would just come through that door of eternal life. Amen? Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want to go to James. If there's anything in today's... Did you see that picture that I emailed John of Abraham Lincoln? Would you mind putting that up? You know, here's Abraham Lincoln. When he went into office and towards the end of the Civil War, look at the change just on his face. You can see the wear and tear on him, right? But I look at his eyes on the left, that, you know, he was an attorney, a lawyer. I mean, he had it going on, right? You can tell kind of like a little smug a little bit on the left. But on the right, I look at his eyes. I don't look at his face, the wear and tear in his eyes. I don't see anger. I don't see resentment. I don't see bitterness. I see more of a childlike faith. I see that what he went through and what God did in his heart and soul. Amen. As I was just reading all the different prayers, thank you, John, for that very much. I was reading some situations where at the beginning the Civil War was not going well for the Union. And Grant and some of his generals coming to him and saying, hey, man, this isn't looking good. And you know what it said? It said he went to prayer. He said, I went to prayer. And he said, I would pray and seek the Lord until a sweet peace would come upon me. A sweet calmness would come upon me. And that I could go out to those people that I was, some of them he was leading right to their death to stand up against slavery. But with the presence of God, that prayer, he could send people into battle with the confidence that he was doing the right thing. Because of prayer. Because of prayer and his leaning on Jesus, he was able to make it through that. Was it a wear and tear on his flesh? You could see it. But those eyes, man, something, God did something in his life during that period. Amen. We need that wisdom through prayer today. We need wisdom. We need wisdom from God of what we're dealing with in the economy. I mean, look, the answer to inflation is not printing a couple more trillion dollars, by the way. It's too many dollars chasing fewer commodities and services. That's what inflation is. And so, I might not be the brightest person, but I know basic economics. And I know that if you just keep, you know, we used to talk about millions, and then it was billions, and now it's trillions. So what do I do? Instead of pretending like it's not happening, I start praying, Lord, give me wisdom. How do I prepare? What do I need to do? I go to him, knowing that he's the answer, my answer. And then I look at examples in the Bible during difficult times, what God did for his saints, what he did for his prophets, what he did with his people as they looked to him in prayer. Brothers and sisters, we need wisdom today, amen? More than ever. And the good thing is he's ready to give it to his saints. See, the world, when they don't have Christ, they'll do crazy things like say, hey, I got a great idea. Let's go ahead and print about $3 trillion more dollars and send it out there. That'll cure the ache of the American soul. That'll help us get votes. That'll do whatever. Nothing to do with God. Nothing to do with asking him for wisdom. It's just the printing of dollars. Amen? When you're void of God, you'll do the craziest things and think it's a good idea. But for you and I, for the church, he has a true wisdom for us. If we want that wisdom. James, what's it saying? James 1, 5, and 8. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. What's it say? Ask. Ask God. Amen? Who gives to all generously and without reproach. He doesn't say, hey, you've been here too many times today. I'm sorry. Come back tomorrow. I'm a little weary with all your petitioning. Now, you maybe spend an hour in worship, and then maybe you can ask for one more petition. No, he loves to hearing the prayers of the saints. Saints, he loves hearing our prayers. If anything, when we leave today, we got to be confident. Lord, you love hearing your the prayers of your saints. He's not a stingy father. He's not looking at you saying, when you get it right, then you can come back and pray. By the way, we're taking communion today. Isn't that awesome? We're going to commune with the Lord together. And it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. The one who doubts is like the surf of the sea or the waves of the sea, driven, tossed by the wind to and fro. For that person ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. Being double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now think of Jesus asleep in the boat. You remember that in the Bible? He's sound asleep, and the waves are going to and fro. Right? The waves are coming into the boat, and somehow Jesus is still sleeping. And they go and shake him. They say, Lord, don't you care that we're going to perish? And he always said, you have little faith. I think of that as we see in society, or you might even see it in your family, we see these waves going to and fro. And what the Lord is saying is, even when you see that, look to me and continue to pray for that answer. Don't let the winds and the waves take your eyes off of me and put it onto the problem. And then the problem becomes bigger than the answer. By the way, that people will look at that and say, double-minded man. That's just somebody who prays something, but then pursues his own answer. And there's nothing wrong with finding an answer to anything, but in prayer saying, God, you've got an answer for wisdom here. I am going to be standing on your word. Lord, I'm standing on my prayer to you for wisdom. Lord, I know that you have what I need in this situation. In our country, it could be in your relationships, it could be in your job, your finances, whatever. I'm telling you, the answer is found in asking for the wisdom of God to God. Amen? Wisdom. We need wisdom. Not looking at those waves going to and fro, but saying, Lord, no matter how I feel, no matter the thoughts that can go through our mind, Lord, I am asking you for wisdom in this situation. Lord, I'm going to do my best to ask for wisdom and then not turn around and start talking contrary to what I'm asking for. Talking about my problem all the time. Isn't that sometimes to gather our friends around and just talk about our problems? And I'm not saying that confiding in people and saying, hey, this is what's going on. But sometimes we'll talk more about the problem than the wisdom that we're asking for. We'll pray once for wisdom and then talk about our problem 50 times. And it makes us unstable to where we've even forgot that we've asked for God's wisdom. We've asked for his wisdom. God's saying to the saints, being resolute, Lord, I'm asking you for wisdom in this situation, and I'm standing on that prayer that you're going to give me wisdom. Hallelujah! double-minded in the Greek means two-spirited, vacillating in opinion or purpose. Man, the Lord wants us listening to one spirit, and that's Jesus Christ. If the enemy can get us to start listening to him, we forget, like I said, what we've asked for. You know, it's not a perfect thing. I'm not saying it's a perfect thing in our asking for wisdom. We are human, amen? But I thank God that it says in Matthew 17, 19, 20, this is then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? Talking about the boy that was having seizures, epileptic seizures. And they said, why couldn't we cast it out? And he said, because of your meager faith. For truly I say, and you say, oh man, meager faith. Jesus said it how it was, wasn't he? And so you could stop right there and say, it's because of your meager faith. And some people, that's me. I'm a candidate. I have meager faith. But then Jesus doesn't stop right there. He says, for truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. What kind of faith? How much faith? The size of a mustard seed? Do you know how small a mustard seed is? See, we think that God's asking for this perfect faith, this huge faith. No, the faith of a mustard seed. You may be praying, asking for wisdom, and you're not used to doing that, but you got to stand firm on it, saying, Lord, I got faith at least as small as a mustard seed or big as a mustard seed. Lord, your word says that you give a measure of faith to every man. I'm born again. I got to have some faith. It's enough. If you got some faith, you got enough faith to receive wisdom from your Father. Amen. Wisdom and everything going on in society. God could fix the things that we're facing in society today like that. That's a pretty good snap, wasn't it? God has all the wisdom that this country, what Washington needs, but they simply will not ask. See, the wisdom of God is foolishness to man. It looks foolish to them because they're in darkness. Don't you know right now that God is bringing things to light, though? Man, you can see this whole, I'm sorry, I'm going to say it, this whole Russian collusion thing has turned out to be nothing but a pile of dung. But it was spoken that it was absolute truth. But it was exposed and will continue to be exposed as an absolute lie. Man, God is exposing things. Trust him in that. He's bringing things to light. You can't deal with things until it's brought to light, by the way. It has to be brought to light. And he's bringing it to light. And I believe it's because of the prayers of the saints. Amen. Amen. Sounds like Pastor Lee's ready to start preaching again. I put that in. I mention that every chance I get. The power of the spoken word. Amen. Amen. So praying for that wisdom and being resolute. Lord, I'm going to keep standing. You're going to bring me wisdom. I don't know exactly when, but it might come quick. He'll encourage you. Let him bring peace. I mean, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. He'll speak to you. If you want to hear him, he'll speak to you. Through his word, through that still quiet voice of the Holy Spirit living in you, if you know him today. That's right. I did mention that the voice in my life is the Holy Spirit and my wife, who sometimes I can't tell the difference. Because they're both right. Much of the time, they're both right. And if you haven't learned that yet, then you better learn that. If you have a wife that loves Jesus, you better learn that she's got a lot of wisdom for you. It took me a long time to learn that, but I learn lessons well, even though they take a long time. Amen. So number one, it was trusting and listening to God. My apologies here. trusting and listening to God, standing resolute. Number two is the thing with murmuring, complaining. You guys familiar with murmuring, complaining? 1 Corinthians 10:10-11 says, Paul's talking, it says, nor grumble as some of them did. Who's he talking about? The Israelites in the Israelites in the desert. Nor grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroyer. Now these things happened. This is Paul saying, now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instructions upon whom the ends of the age have come. It says they were killed by the destroyer. Well, who's the destroyer? What do we know now in the new covenant, in the light of the New Testament? What's John 10:10 says? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I came so that you might have life and have it abundantly. Amen. The enemy comes to destroy. But mind you, it's the enemy. And what happens is, as we're praying everything, we'll start maybe murmuring, complaining. And Paul said, hey, this is an example. This does not help your cause. This is infecting your own heart and infecting people's hearts around you. Do not murmur and complain. Stand resolute in that prayer that you have, that God will give you wisdom. It's amazing with the Israelites. They see all the plagues. They come out of Israel. They're at the Red Sea, man. They're pressed. God opens up the Red Sea. They go through it. Amen? They see the water come back down on the Egyptians. I mean, could you imagine that miracle? And then turn around and start murmuring, complaining over and over and over again. God has better for you and I. Amen? Being resolute, say, God, when you find yourself wanting to murmur or complain your situation, say, God, thank you for the answer. You have my manna. Amen. You have my provision. Amen. Lord, you've got my relationships. Lord, I can trust you. I choose not to murmur and complain. Paul's saying these were written as examples to you. Don't do that. God has better for you. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. Amen. Now, do we sometimes any of us ever murmur and complain? Yeah. Yeah. But that's okay. Because you can say, thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that I'm still learning. Thank you, God, that you'll never leave me nor forsake me. Thank you that I live in a new covenant, which is a better covenant than the old covenant. Amen? You live inside me. For by grace are you saved through faith, right? That not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So speaking and walking in the new covenant, thank you, Lord. Not walking in murmuring, complaining. It turns our heart away from those answers that he wants to give to us, the wisdom. Amen. One thing that I pray, number two is murmuring, complaining. Number three, pray like the victory, the answer is already yours. I'm serious. I have time to go through this. Romans 8:31-32 says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Amen? I said, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things that we need? You know, I was reading and preparing for this, and I pray that I can communicate this because I thought it was awesome. It was exciting to my heart. 1 Samuel 2:1-4. Then it says, then Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. This is a prayer of Hannah, who was the mother of Samuel. Then Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth speaks boldly against my enemies. Amen. Because I rejoice in your salvation, your benefits, the benefits of salvation. Heal all my diseases, keep pestilence away from my home, deliver me, set me free, and give me wisdom liberally. Amen? But you know, the backstory is how this becomes powerful. Because she had been praying for a child, and God gave her a son. She'd been praying for a child for years. Absolutely years. Matter of fact, in 1 Samuel 1:6, So she was married to Elkanah, who had two wives. The way I looked at this is two wives, you know, back in the Old Testament. We don't have, you know, we have one wife now, don't we? Amen. Just want to make that clear. I was going to say some more, but we must move on. But one was going to give birth to a Savior, basically, at that time for Israel. He said during that time, the Word of God was rare in Israel. And the priesthood was in a mess, acting wickedly. They were in trouble. Israel was in trouble. And so we had one wife of Elkanah who had many kids, and the other one, Hannah, had none. It says she was barren. See, every womb up until Christ was barren as far as producing the seed that could save mankind. Every individual that was born in sin. There was no Savior. Every person born was destined for death without a Savior. That's crazy, but it's the truth. I've said it before, you can thank Adam when you see him. But it's true. And so it says in 1 Samuel 1:6, it says her rival, Hannah's rival, this other wife, moreover, you know, in the King James it says her adversary. Who's our adversary, by the way? Satan. Who is our adversary in this world? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. You know the scripture. Our adversary is Satan, the enemy of our soul. Amen? Her adversary, her rival, moreover, would provoke her bitterly to irritate her because the Lord had closed up her womb. And it happened year after year, as often as she went up to the house of the Lord, that she would provoke her, so she wept and would not eat. She couldn't even worship the Lord without weeping, without her adversary provoking her, saying, you don't have a child. You're not blessed of God. Look at all the children I have. So that when they would go up to the temple to worship and sacrifice, she said she could not even eat year after year after year. And the thing is, without Christ, there's an adversary keeps poking a finger at people. This is what you are. This is what you'll always be. But when you know Christ, the adversary, the power of the adversary is broken in Jesus' name. She had this adversary, this rival. And then finally, God hears her prayer. Samuel, a type of deliverer for Israel, an absolute deliverer. He came on the scene. It says that every word that he said, none of them fell to the ground. You don't read that anywhere in the Bible except for Jesus Christ, and in this case, Samuel, the great prophet. So she has this child. But you know, there was another child also. In Isaiah 9:6 says, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to who? Us. And the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. See, she had this child and had this deliverer. See, there's a child that was born in Bethlehem 2,000 years, and he died once, and he's our deliverer. He's not going to die again. There's no more death for him, and he is our only deliverer. Amen? So she's praying this prayer, God, give me a child, and she has this child. And because she knows this deliverer is born, her whole prayer changes, we're going to read. See, our prayers need to be like the deliverer's already set us free. The deliverer's already got the answer for us. The deliverer's already got wisdom for me. The deliverer's the one who is keeping me afloat in him. The deliverer's the one who has me in his hand, and nobody can take me out. Amen? A heart like that. Jesus. And so Samuel's born. Her tormentor can't torment her anymore. The enemy can't torment her anymore. That deliverer was born. So now that the deliverer's born, her prayer changes. Let's look at this quickly, can we? Praying knowing that the victory is already ours, saying, Lord, thank you for the wisdom that you're going to give me. Lord, thank you that that wisdom is already mine. Father, I thank you for the timing of revealing it in my life. Father, thank you for the healing of my body. However that may come, Father God, I'm trusting you. I'm not going to give up or give in. Lord, I know that you hear my prayers. Because of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, you hear my prayers. Thank you, Jesus. Well, now that the Savior at this time of Christ-like is born, he changes her prayer. 1 Samuel 2, 2 through 10. Let's read this real quick. So there's no one, excuse me, there's no one holy like the Lord. Amen? Indeed, there is no one beside you, nor is there any rock like our God. Who's this rock, by the way, a representation of? Jesus. There is no rock, no God, no Savior like our Jesus. Amen? Verse 3, do not go on boasting. Now she's talking to the enemy. She's talking to that adversary that tormented her year after year after year. Verse 3, she says, don't go on boasting so very proudly. Do not let arrogance come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and with him actions are weighed. God's seen what's happening. God sees what you've been going through. God sees what the enemy's trying to do. Just so you know that for sure, he sees that. He sees that, and it's got an end time, an expiration date on that attack on your life as you ask for wisdom, as the victory is yours, as she's talking to that adversary. Yeah, you don't keep on boasting, because the day of reckoning, this thing that I'm going through, the victory is mine. See, the enemy boasts great things. He tries to boast. You hear him boasting through the world, don't you? Amen. Then she continues, the bows of the mighty are broken to pieces, but those who have stumbled strap on strength. If you've stumbled today, the strength is yours. Put on your strength again. Say, Lord Jesus, man, you're with me. By faith, Lord, you're with me. The past is the past. Lord Jesus, I don't have to live in that anymore. Lord, I belong to you. The miracle child, Jesus Christ, came and satisfied the debt of sin and the wrath of God on the finished work of the cross. Amen? Amen. Verse 5, those who were full hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry ceased to be hungry. Those that were relying on their own strength. Those that were relying, they don't need God. And those that are who need God, that are hungry, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Aren't you glad to be filled, if you know him, with his righteousness? Amen. Those who were full hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry ceased to be hungry. Hallelujah. Even the infertile women give birth to 7, but she who has many children languishes. Well, nothing wrong with having many children. There's talking about those who just in themselves. Everything works out. See, it's not just the rich person who says, I don't need God. They're rich in themselves. They're very proud of what they accomplished in the soul realm. I'm so thankful that I can say that I was poor in spirit, amen, that I need a Savior, amen. I'm glad those things that went on in my life that brought me to him, because I'll spend eternity with him, amen. Language. The Lord puts to death and makes alive. Aren't you glad he's made you alive in him? Amen. He brings down Sheol and brings up. You know, it says that the humble, he lifts up. Amen. He opposes the proud, but gives strength to the humble. Yes, I need a Savior. Yes, I need God's wisdom. Yes, Lord, I want you to lead and direct my path. Yes, Lord, I'm glad to have you in my life. Lord, I say, I can't do this. I don't want to do this without you. I don't want to try to figure out the messes in this world, in this country, without you, Lord. Lord, I want you to be the one in the center of my marriage. Strengthen it, Lord. I don't want to try to figure it out on my own. Lord, you've got wisdom for my relationships. I freely say in humility, Lord, I need you in every area of my life. 7, the Lord makes poor and rich. He humbles and he exalts. Thinking of 2 Corinthians, I think it's in 8 or 9, it says that he became poor for our sake that we might become rich. A full supply. Isn't that wonderful that God offers a full supply, provision for us? Amen. That is awesome. I'm glad to say, Lord, I couldn't have figured all my provision. I didn't figure out. You helped me. More than happy to say that. More than honored to say that he's brought that to me. Thank you, Lord. Verse 8, he raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the garbage heap. Amen. To seat them with nobles, and he gives them a seat of honor at the inheritance. That only happens through Christ. That only happens through Christ. It doesn't happen through critical race theory. I mean that. Separating people by their color, by their background, pointing fingers. He loves to raise people out of the heaps and ashes and bless them and say, look what I did in that person's life. He loves to do that. What people need to do is quit pointing fingers and take responsibility for their own sin, ask Jesus to forgive me, wash my sins away, come into my life and make me exactly what you made me to be. That's what we need to do. The communism and critical race theory is opposite of that. No, I'm at where I'm at, not because of my own doing, because of me being born in sin, or just pointing fingers at others, what they've done to me, instead of saying, Lord, I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Amen? And all things are from God. Amen. Amen. That's true. A true statement. We need to teach our children in this day and age that there is an adversary, and I know it comes in many forms, but one of the forms is called communism. It's totally anti-God. We have to tell our children that. I'm already telling my grandchildren, so when these things come around them, they hear this nonsense, lies, they reject it because they already know the truth. Amen and amen. Amen. And he gives them a seat of honor of inheritance. Let me finish that. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he set the world on them. He watches over the feet of his godly ones. Did you know that? Are you one of his godly ones? But the wicked ones are silenced in darkness, for not by might shall a person prevail. Not by might, not by strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Amen. Verse 10, those who contend with the Lord will be terrified. Listen to that. Against them he will thunder in the heavens. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth, and he will give strength to his king. Who is his king? Jesus. And will exalt the horn of his anointed. Who is his anointed? See, he's not saying, Lord, would you, Lord, I beg you, you would anoint me. It's claiming here because of that child who grew up and died on the cross, saying, Lord, because I put my faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of cross, because you filled me with the Holy Spirit, that anointing is mine. Lord, I have a right to that, a birthright, being born again, to the promises of God that are yes and amen. I'm a child. I'm of the seed of Abraham. How about you? It said he would be the father of many nations. And being joint heirs with Christ, I have a right to that family inheritance. And right now it's the Holy Spirit in me and it's wisdom. Amen. You know, regardless of what you hear, the kingdom of God is always marching and moving. Isaiah 9:7 says, there will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom. Who's an heir? Who's David in modern now? Who Jesus, the heir of David, now will sit on his throne forever and ever on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of armies will accomplish this. The zeal of the Lord. Colossians 1, the end of verse 5 and verse 6 says, the gospel which has come to you, just as in all the world, also it is bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you, increasing in you, also since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. And I want to end with this. James 1:17, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Man, he hasn't changed his heart towards you. I want to tell you, regardless of what could be going on in your life, he hasn't changed his heart towards you. He doesn't change his mind. He doesn't go back and forth. He loves you. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you know, it's not being part of a church. Being part of a church isn't going to save your soul. It's not going to have the Holy Spirit in. It's believing by faith the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Believing that he was God. And believing and understand there's no way by which man can be restored or have fellowship or go to heaven or have their answers pray or their prayers answered except through Jesus Christ. It offends many, but it's absolutely the truth. It is absolutely the truth. We're going to move in a second into some communion together. But I want to say that if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, that he loves you. That he invites you into his kingdom. If you'll ask him to wash your sins away and realize that that chasm, that gulf between man and God is sin. Is every person's born in it. Every person is born needing a Savior. Doesn't matter how many good things you've done. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. Amen. He's perfect and holy. But if you'll confess and believe in his blood washing your sins away, he will come and live in you. He wants to come and have fellowship with you. He wants to come and give you wisdom. He wants to come and break bondages off of your life. He wants to break depression in the name of Jesus Christ. You see, it's only his blood. It doesn't matter. It's not your righteousness and your do's and don'ts and trying to make a list or looking back and saying, hey, look at all the things I've done. No, it's saying, Lord Jesus, thank you that your blood can wash all of that away right now. Right now, in a moment. In a moment. I thank you that for many years I tried to follow that list. I always spent my time in the Old Testament. I don't know why. I look back and think it was some of my own pride of, I know a lot of the word. And trying to find some kind of secret in the prophets, not realizing everything had already been fulfilled in Christ. That I don't have to keep that list anymore. I don't have to do works to please him. It is only by salvation. It is only by believing he is God and him living in me. Then he'll put things in my life that he'll bring forth as good works. But there ain't a good work you can do to try to get God's favor. Even if you're a saint, you can't say, man, I've been struggling, so maybe if I can do some works and be helpful, I can tip the scales. No, there's no tipping the scales. It's either Christ or it's nothing. There's no tipping the scale, saints. There's only one mediator between God and man. It was the good pleasure of the Father to put all the sin of the world on his Son. His wrath being poured out on Christ on the cross, where he had to turn his head. And Jesus said, Father, why have you forsaken me? As if for that moment in time, everything was upon him. And then dying. But that's not the full story, amen? 3 days later, rising from the dead, he's by the tomb, and Mary goes to going to touch him. He said, don't touch me yet. I haven't gone to my Father. I've got to apply this blood in heaven once and for all. The last priest to apply blood to the Holy of Holies. And then the Holy of Holies veil was torn when Jesus died, saying, man, I'm coming to live in man now. Isn't that wonderful? Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Right now, I just want to say a prayer. If you say this prayer with me, after church, would you come see me? This prayer and believing this can set your heart free. It'll make you alive. It'll change you forever. Can we do that together? God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for sending your Son to this earth. He lived a perfect life. He never sinned. Jesus, you gave your life willingly for me. I believe in that blood can wash my sins away today, 100%. Jesus, come live in me. Lord, bring your Holy Spirit in me. Thank you for fellowship, Father. Thank you for speaking to me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you believe that, did you know that you just were transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light? That's amazing. That prayer of faith, and that prayer of faith only, if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that he was raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Father, we thank you for speaking to every heart today. Lord, what a serious thing this is. Salvation. Lord, I pray every heart in this room will be alive unto you. Lord, I pray for even those who have known you but have struggled. Could be decades, whatever, Father, saying today, Lord, I'm coming back home. Lord, I belong to you. The truth is, you've always belonged to him. You've always belonged to him. He's never left you or forsaken you. It's just a rekindling of that flame of the Spirit of God in you. As Paul said to Timothy, fan the flame of the purpose and the gifting in your life. Fan that flame. Lord, we thank you for fanning flames today. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You love him today? Did you receive something from his word today? I hope you did. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Moving to, does everybody have an element? If you don't have an element, would you raise your hand? We've got a few people. I don't know how Marty got in the house without getting an element. It's hard to miss you, Marty. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to walk in the joy of the Lord? Second Timothy 2:1 says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Amen? The grace that is in Christ Jesus is power in us. If you know, I want to say to this, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to be encouraged to take communion with us today. Some of us, I spent a lifetime growing up, maybe taking communion 50-50, maybe 60-40, 60% not. Because I was always so sin conscious, always felt unworthy, always felt like I was drinking condemnation to myself. And then as I grow and understand his grace, man, a time of communion, who are we communing with? Each other and God. When I'm struggling, man, I need to come to him. You know, teaching people that you got to turn around and run from him until you get it figured out is false doctrine, because you never will. It's going back to the law. You can't do that. If you're struggling today, I'm asking you to come to him, to run to him. If you got struggles in your life, saying, Jesus, that you're my Savior, thank you for forgiving of my sins. Thank you for empowering me. Thank you for strengthening me. Thank you for encouraging me. Let that be what's communion about. If you look in what communion was about then and what he was saying, examine yourself, man, they had factions, at least three factions. Like, let's say, put it this way, three church splits. And they'd get together, and then they'd prove which one of them was right. I'm right. I follow Paul. He's an apostle. He started this church. I follow Apollos. He was a great speaker. Well, we follow Cephas because, after all, he was one of the original 12. And so he says, when you get together, it's for the worse. It's not for the better. You see, it was basically saying you shouldn't even get together because you're tearing asunder. You're coming together and you're hurting the body. Examine yourself to see if you're one of those that's just coming to church to get drunk, coming to church to show people how powerful you are in your spiritual gifts and trying to prove that you're right. God hates division, by the way. It's what tears the body apart. That's what'll destroy the body's division. So he's saying, look, are you one of those that's causing division? Drinking condemnation unto yourself? The only thing I see about condemnation in the Bible is those who are false prophets dividing the body. Wolves in sheep's clothing. Aren't you glad you're not one of those? And so let me ask you, just saying, Lord Jesus, as you take this communion today, remind yourself that it's his blood that washes your sins away. And say, Lord, thank you for washing my sins away. Thank you for what you accomplished on the cross. Amen. Let it remind you today that you need him as much as the day that you found him. It hasn't changed. And let it remind yourself of this, if you know him as your Savior, that you're still seated at the right hand of the Father. So if you're born again, are we coming in and out of being born again? Are we coming in and out of being seated with him? No, we may harden his heart. There may be things, it says, but when we're faithless, it says, he remains faithful. So this morning as you take communion, would you remind yourselves of his faithfulness? And saying, Lord, I'm here. I'm yours. Your blood washing my sins away. I encourage you to embrace it this morning. Amen. If you don't know him, it doesn't matter if you take this or not. You're void of the Spirit of God. He loves you. He wants to be your Savior. But the truth of the matter is, it doesn't matter if you take it or not. You haven't accepted his sacrifice. See, this is only, I guess it's a wafer of something and grape juice. See, it's just a reminder. There's no power in this. It's no power. But it is a reminder of what he accomplished already for us and applying in our life afresh and anew, just reminding ourselves, yep, Lord, through your blood, I have forgiveness of sins. Through your blood, I have healing. Lord, through your blood, I have provision. It's a reminder of his benefits in him. Amen. Matthew 26:26-29, it says, now while they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. So Lord, we take this in a blessing. We thank you, his body that was nailed on a cross for our sins. Lord, we acknowledge that. We believe that. We thank you for the benefits of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's eat the bread together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for giving your body. Verse 27, and when he had taken a cup, let's hold our cup up together, and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is being poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it with you anew in my Father's kingdom. Lord, we remind ourselves of this new covenant in your blood. And we take it together with joy today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can we stand up together? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the cup. Tyler. Check.
I just want to tap back into some things that Chad talked about this morning about prayer. When I came this morning, I had heard something last night I had not heard before. A gentleman in a uniform of the Border Patrol last night shared that over 200 children have been found dead in the deserts in Texas. And I have been really unable to comprehend or cope with that. And this morning and during prayer, I said, Lord, what can I do? What can I do? I live in Chino Valley, Arizona. If I went and got one of them, they would take them away from me. What can I do? And during worship this morning, it was like God took me and put me in a drone. And we went across Arizona and New Mexico and into Texas. And I saw this vast desert, and I knew. But then we went past that, and I saw a group of men standing in uniform. And I said, who are they? He said, they're the ones who found those children. And I said, that's what I can do. Those men hurt like I hurt this morning. And I saw something that I had not seen before. And when Chad was preaching this morning, I heard the words, ask and listen and pray. I asked God, what can I do? If you feel helpless sometimes like I what am I supposed to do? What can I do? If you've asked God, he will tell you. He will show you. That's what I can do. It may be little, but for those men that are hurting and their hearts are broken and their souls are probably crippled, I can pray for them. And so this morning, I just had to share that. Ask and listen and pray. And like Chad said, believe that it's happening there. God is the God of here, but he's also the God of there. And this morning I knew God was there, and I can pray for them. Ask God what you can do, and listen. He will tell you, he will show you, and you can pray.
Amen. Amen. Before we're released, can you lift your hands and say, Lord, I'm going to start asking afresh and anew.
Amen.
Not with timidity, but Lord, knowing that you answer prayer. Lord, we thank you for discouragement in the name of Jesus being broken off of people's lives where they don't want to pray. The book of Malachi, they even said, why do we even pray or ask? Lord, we thank you for discouragement being broken in this new covenant off of people. And Lord, may we start asking afresh and anew. Father, asking, seeking, we'll find. Knocking and the door will be open. Lord, we thank you for doing that afresh and anew, stirring your people.
Yes.
The power of prayer. And so we thank you and we love you for it, God. Continue, Lord, even next week as we talk again about prayer, we thank you for new excitement. So when we hear we're going to talk about prayer, people say, yes! Let's hear it. We thank you for that today, Lord. May you bless your people this week. Bless them, Father God. Bless them with wisdom, with joy and peace. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And all of God's saints said, amen and amen.